pair of tunes for you on this 5 minutes of Monitor Music. Bobby Darin on first.
There are so many fabulous faraway places to see, such as Mexico, Sweden, Hawaii, Japan, and Capri. There's so many exciting and wonderful places, mountains and jungles and desert oasis, pleasant and homely. So many fabulous faraway places to see. Why should Spain and Tahiti and Rio just be only names to you and me? I feel certain that people we'd be glad to know there. So tell me, why don't we get up and just go there? Go to those fabulous places where we long to be. Like Bangkok and Hong Kong and Paris and Venice, Tokyo and Cairo and Lisbon and London, wonderful, fabulous places we're longing to see. There are so many simply incredible places to see. I see a new world for you and me. I'd give anything just to have one single day there. And once we get there, I know that we'll stay there. Stay in those fabulous places where we long to be. Bangkok and Hong Kong, Paris and Venice, Tokyo and Cairo and Lisbon and London, Siam, Siena, Vienna, Verona, Java, Jamaica, Bombay, Barcelona.
Something stupid.
home. You won't like raving if you spend the season with NBC.
December 31st, 1967, and too soon we'll have to sober up. Too soon we'll have to sober up to the fact that a whole new year faces us. Looking back on the last one, I recall something astronaut James McDivitt said about our world. When you look down from space, he said, you don't see the boundaries of nations. All you see are the boundaries between land and water. It's really and truly one world.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. To climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world
May. In one moment, heavyweight contender Jerry Quarry. Monitor Sports is brought to you by your Lincoln Mercury dealer, home of Better Idea Cars, from the makers of Lincoln Continental.
Mercury's got a hot new car.
Go, go, Montego!
Montego is spectacular.
Go, go, Montego!
Only the Lincoln Continental people would know how to make the Mercury Montego. Mercury's newest and lowest priced luxury car. Montego is Mercury's bright new star. Montego's got sedans and hardtops, convertibles, station wagons too. The hot new Mercury since Cougar, inside and out, it's completely new.
Go, go, Montego!
Mon, you ought to see Montego go.
Mercury Montego combines Cougar excitement with full six-passenger comfort at your Mercury dealers.
Jerry Quarry meets Thad Spencer in Oakland, California on February 3rd, in a bout that will help to determine the next heavyweight champion. A report from Monitor's Pete Miller.
Jerry, the WBA heavyweight title elimination tournament is now reduced to just yourself, Thad Spencer, and Jimmy Ellis. How do you foresee events from here on in?
Well, I have to meet Spencer in my next fight, the semifinal fight of the tournament, and the winner goes on to meet Jimmy Ellis for the championship fight. I think it looks pretty good for me. I just have to make sure I get myself in shape and stay in shape and fight the right kind of fight.
Between Spencer and Ellis, which one is the tougher, in your opinion?
I would say Spencer's probably the tougher. He's hits about the same as Ellis, but he's quicker with his hands and throws the combinations a little better. He takes advantage of the mistake a little more than Ellis does.
Would you say Spencer's a better boxer?
Yes, I would, really. I don't think he quite moves as good as Ellis because he's more flat-footed, but I'd still say he's a better boxer.
In view of Cassius Clay's predicament being stripped of his title, if you win this tournament, Jerry, will you consider yourself to be the champion in fact?
Well, if he doesn't go to jail, I won't really feel like I'm champion until I meet him. If he goes to jail, then I'll be satisfied.
He had that ulcer, at least an incipient ulcer, which broke out just before the last Floyd Patterson fight. How do you feel there now? Are you improving?
I think that the ulcer is completely gone. I think that everything's going to be fine. No complaints, no excuses.
Back on the regular diet?
Back on the regular boxing diet. It's good food anyway. So.
What is a boxing diet, Jerry?
Well, we have to stay away from fats, fried foods, all greasy foods. Eat a lot of steaks.
Do you worry a lot about what the fans will think of your performance each time you fight?
Yes, I have in the past, Pete. I don't know why, but I seem to the fans have gotten down on me, and I try, and this makes it worse. I try to please them more than I actually fight my own fight, and this is a detriment to me as well as it is actually to the fans.
You think you're overcoming that now?
I think I'm past that now. I think everything's fine, and like I said, I have no excuses in any of my future fights, and I'll just give my best performance. If that's good enough to win, then I'm satisfied.
Why do you bother to want to be heavyweight champion, Jerry?
Well, it's a desire I've had since I was a kid. I always wanted to be champion of the world. I never thought I'd be a heavyweight to begin with. I thought I'd be a middleweight, but I've grown into a heavyweight, and I've always wanted to be champion, and it's just a means of fulfilling my desire.
If you make it to the heavyweight championship, do you anticipate that you'll be able to be your own man as champion, or are you fearful that those shadowy figures in boxing will pull the strings that control you?
Well, if it ever comes to where I have to have them or else, then I'll get out of fighting, because I don't need them, don't want them, and I'm not going to have them in fighting.
Eileen Eaton, the Olympic promoter here in Los Angeles, has been very critical of the WBA recently. How do you feel about that? How much of a threat would that type of boxing politics be to you as heavyweight champion?
Let me tell you, Pete, I fight to fight. Whatever happens outside that ring is not my business. I just fight to fight, and whatever happens there, that's where we go.
Well, Jerry Quarry, we want to thank you for being our guest on Monitor Sports, and have a Merry Christmas.
Well, thanks, Pete, and I'd like to wish everyone on NBC and Monitor a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Pete Miller in Los Angeles for Monitor Sports.
Hey, sports. Packers win, 21-17. Don't have to say any more, because if you don't understand that, you don't care. There's another kind of fight coming up shortly on NBC, the American Football League Championship game. And tomorrow it's the Sugar, Rose, and Orange Bowl games, all on NBC. Now a word about Autolite.
You're listening to the car that won the Indianapolis 500. A.J. Foyt's $50,000 Coyote Ford. A high-priced racing car with a low-price ignition coil. It's an Autolite coil, almost a carbon copy of the one you buy, under $10. How come a low-priced Autolite coil in a $50,000 racing car? Because there is no better coil, not at any price. Get Autolite ignition parts for your car, whatever kind you drive.
Complete coverage of the sports scene, 52 weekends a year. Right here on the Monitor Beacon.
WNBC football weekend continues with the AFL championship game direct from Oakland, California, today at 5 p.m. when the Oakland Raiders meet the Houston Oilers. Monitor at 14 minutes before the hour.
Tune here by the Cow Sills.
Goodbye.
anybody who goes around the country on speaking engagements, as I do, plug, and as Al Capp does, unplug, is bound to wind up in his home away from home looking at old movies on TV, and Al does, apparently.
Jackie Cooper, who's now in his 40s, is one of the most important tycoons in television, but as far as I'm concerned, he reached his peak at the age of 4, and he's been slipping ever since. If you doubt that, stay up some night and see the next Jackie Cooper movie on Late, Late, Late TV. No matter what the title is, I can promise you it'll turn out to be some variation of the classic MGM story of a spunky little boy played by Jackie Cooper and his filthy, drunken, and ignorant but lovable pal, Wallace Beery. One day, Wallace Beery, a brawling swine of a longshoreman, sees 4-year-old orphan newsboy Jackie Cooper being beaten up by a 5-year-old wealthy English kid played by Arthur Treacher. He takes Jackie Cooper home to his filthy but lovable flat and teaches him the art of self-defense, which enables the kid to go back and beat up Arthur Treacher and his whole gang of little English kids, played by Sir Laurence Olivier, Sir John Gielgud, Sir Cedric Hardwicke, and George Jessel. Jessel has no lines in that scene. Well, a fast-talking young fight manager, played by Walter Brennan, wants to train the kid for the ring, but Wallace Beery says, "I am going to send that kid to college so he won't grow up to be no drunken, swinish brawler like me, even if I got to give up drinking, brawling, and living like a swine to do it," which he does. Jackie Cooper grows up to be a splendid young man, played by Robert Taylor, and goes to Harvard, played by the University of Southern California. He becomes captain of the boxing team and falls in love with Betty Furness. Wallace Beery is invited to the wedding and blows every cent he saved on a checked suit for the occasion because he wants Robert Taylor, formerly known as Jackie Cooper, to be proud of. As he's entering Betty Furness's father's mansion, played by an exterior shot of David O. Selznick's home, one of the society guests, played by Hedda Hopper, sneers, "I didn't know they had hired clowns to entertain at the wedding." Well, Wallace Beery hears this and leaves. His heart is broken. He realizes that he can only bring shame and disgrace to the kid he loves. So he sends a telegram saying he is too busy to come to the wedding, and now that Robert Taylor, formerly known as Jackie Cooper, is married to Betty Furness and is all set in life, he washes his hands of him, which is not true because Wallace Beery never washed anything in Jackie Cooper movies except Jackie Cooper. And this is Al Capp, who waits up all night waiting for Bobby Breen movies, but they never come, speaking on NBC's Monitor.
And this is Henry Morgan, who has waited a whole year for Al Capp to go back to being funny. Thank goodness. I hope he hears this. Oh, dear, not a word about Laurel LaPlante. Well, that'll give you an idea of how old this program is. Freddie Bartholomew, nothing, huh, Al? Mickey Rooney, nothing, right? Our lovable old man of the movies, Al Capp, monitors other expert on nothing with opinions on everything.
Watching bands come and go, there's ever been a band that had the impact that Tijuana Brass had.
So distinctive, the minute you hear two
lights. And they're not hippies by any stretch of the imagination. And it's not rock and roll. It's real good music. And there are other wonderful outfits that are still around, like Count Basie, for instance. And I just left Florida, and Freddie Martin's down there doing a wonderful job in the new hotel. Harry James is still a good band, and we have all kinds of music. I don't believe, Ben, that there have been as many good recordings sold. I mean by that the better albums by our symphonies and by our better musicians than there have been in the last 8 or 10 years.
Yeah, but I'm going to bore in with a little searching professional question now. When you started to get your first great waves of popularity, I think called Sweetest Music This Side of Heaven.
Right.
Now, there was a distinctive, as it still is, sound to the Lombardo music.
Right.
Something you did with your saxes. I don't know.
You
tuned them a certain way. The minute you hit three notes, you said, that guy.
Well, looking back, Ben, we were very fortunate that we had that sound.
Yes, a special sound.
And, of course, every band like Dorsey and the Whiteman Band and all the bands had a sound.
Just passed away only a few days ago. A tremendous influence in American popular music.
He was truly, Ben, the king of jazz, and he was an inspiration to all the bands that came up, the Dorsey Boys. As a matter of fact, they got started with him.
And Bing started with him,
and Glenn Miller. And I know that we were kids up in Canada then, and when his first recording came up, which was Song of India, he just started a run all over the world for saxophones. It was a very, very... meaningful thing, his band.
You could even say it had an important impact on you.
Oh, definitely. Oh, sure. We styled our band after the Whiteman style. That was the first of organized music instead of just a lot of guys playing.
In the Dixieland tradition.
In the Dixieland tradition. He made it very respectable, and we've got to give him a lot of thanks for that.
I had the pleasure of talking with Paul just a year or so in Texas, and we recalled some of the old times, some of the old shows. Ramona and
sure.
Red McKenzie of the Coleman.
And, of course, Rhapsody in Blue will be here forever and ever. That was a great Whiteman's classic.
Well, Guy, here we are looking into 68. You and I have spent a quarter of a century watching these things come and go. Have you any particular thoughts or hopes for the new year ahead?
Naturally, I have, Ben, and I'm sure everyone else has, that we, of course, number one, get this Vietnam War over with.
I think
everything other than that is rather incidental. I think that's a big, important factor. And I hope that in the next year, other youngsters will come along and be the Dorseys of old, and the Lombardos of old, and the Lawrence Welks of old, and I'm sure it'll happen.
Well, we're talking to the Lombardo of old and of new because you've got that youthful spirit. And, Guy, still there's one silver thread that runs through this all, affection and sentiment at New Year's Eve. So may I wish you, for auld lang syne, continued health and success.
Thank you, Ben, very much, and a happy New Year.
We've been chatting with Guy Lombardo, one of the living symbols of New Year's Eve, who has welcomed the arrival of the New Year for many years with the strains of his orchestra theme, auld lang syne. This is Ben Grauer. I'll be reporting from Times Square at precisely midnight tonight, New York time. So stay tuned to Monitor and NBC Radio.